If I leave this world of sorrow sometime before you do, just look for me in heaven and we'll talk the ages through. But if at first you fail to see me, let me tell you where I'll be. I'll be thanking Christ, my Savior, for saving a wretch like me. Don't look neath the gates of pearl. Don't look on the streets of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper, nor among the many sights untold. For I've been longing and I've been waiting for the precious Holy One to meet. There I'll be through the countless ages. Look for me at Jesus' feet. But if you should reach that city before my time has come, perhaps you'd like to greet me when my race down here is run. Just wait, for I'll soon be coming across life's ebbing sea. And I'll tell you now, dear loved one, just where to wait for me. Don't wait neath the gates of pearl. Don't wait on the streets of gold. Don't wait by the walls of jasper, nor among the many sights untold. For I've been longing and I've been waiting for the precious Holy One to meet. There I'll be through the countless ages. Wait for me at Jesus' feet. There I'll be through the countless ages. Wait for me at Jesus' feet.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Dan, Miss Carmen. And what a wonderful, wonderful song. Thank you for that. I failed to give you this earlier. Make sure that you're praying for several folks in our church are in need of our prayers, asking the Lord to bless. We're praying for the Edwards family. Brother Leonard Edwards went home to be with the Lord early Saturday morning, and so they'll meet with the funeral home today. Don't have the announcements. I may have them tonight, or the arrangements, rather, may have those tonight. But pray for all of the Edwards family in this time, and pray for Summer Scroggs. Talked to Marty last night, and so she is doing well after that extensive surgery on Friday, and so they're going to drop some things off there at the facility she's in. They haven't been able to see her, but to drop some Gatorade or some different things off, they're able to do that today. And so you keep on praying for Summer, if you would, and asking the Lord to bless there. Keep on praying for Nathan Hubbard. He's home. I had that collapsed lung last week, and but he's home and recovering, and you keep him in your prayers. We're praying also for Kathy Smith over at Johnson City Medical Center, having some health issues. And so I want you to pray for all of those, and trust the Lord will work and bless in those lives. Well, I'm looking forward to giving you a message this morning. I'm going to preach today in reference to our missions conference that's coming up in about a month. And sometimes think it's not fair for us as a church just to have a missions conference. We'll start on Wednesday night on November the 4th, I think it is. And we'll go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we'll take off on Saturday, and then we'll have a meeting on Sunday morning and Sunday night with Brother David Snyder. He's the president of BIMI. He'll be with us Friday and Sunday. But I want us all to start thinking about missions and what part we play, and I trust that it's a blessing to us. So I thought it seemed led of the Lord last Sunday to preach on this today, and seemed like the Lord was leading us in this particular point. If you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, as you find your place there in Acts 13, I did hear the story about this new preacher that moved into town. I may have told you this story, but moved into town. He's just visiting everybody, a little country town that he moved into, and he was trying to get to know all the neighbors and talking to them. He saw this old fellow sitting up on the porch, and he said, "Hey," said, "I'm the new preacher down the church on the round the lane here." And he said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Oh, I ain't no Christian." He said, "I'm a Cunningham." And I said, "Well," he said, "I get that." He said, "No, I don't mean your last name." He said, "Let me ask you a different way." He said, are you lost?" He said, "Lost?" He said, "I lived here all my life." He said, "I know these woods better than anybody else." He said, no way, I ain't lost." And he said, "I don't mean that." He said, "Are you ready for the rapture?" He said, "I can't really tell." He said, "When is it?" He said, "Well, that's just the thing." The preacher said, "It could be today, could be tomorrow." He said, "Shoot, don't tell my wife." He said, "She'll want to go both days, so you keep that to yourself." So, Acts chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manina, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." So they go down to Seleucia there in the water's edge and sailed to Cyprus. As I already told you, I want to prepare us for our missions conference, because I believe, or imagine, that most of the people, although I have no way of knowing, you know this about me, I never look to see what people are giving. I know what Amy and I give, and that's it. But I imagine that most of you are involved in not only giving to the church to help pay for the lights and the upkeep and the parking lot that got sealed and all the other things. You help financially in the need to keep the plant up. But then most of you, I believe, in this room probably are involved in missions. You give a certain amount weekly or monthly or however you do it. And I think that's wonderful. I think it's biblical. It's where you look in the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys was dependent, humanly speaking, upon people who would give their money so that he could go and preach the gospel. And I think that most of you are. If you aren't, I recommend everybody. You say, "Well, I can't afford it." I don't say that you that you have to give a lot. I think all of us ought to see those missionaries that we come in once in a while as they come in, present, and talk to us, and we ought to have a part in that. I'm blessed because we are able to invest, and it is truly an investment when you get to put some money toward the missionaries that go out in different places. When this particular church in Antioch, they were wanting to get the message that they were so enjoying there about Jesus Christ. They wanted to be senders, maybe even better than the church at Jerusalem, which was which this would have been out of. But the church at Antioch, they wanted to get the message out. And so here they are. They're gathered together, the prophets, the teachers, and all of those together. And they have the joy of sending somebody to a place that doesn't currently have the gospel message. And that's the heart and the thrust of our missions program. Now, some of our missionaries are support missionaries. They go and they help somebody who's already preaching the gospel. But the primary thrust of a missions program is getting church planters to places where the gospel is not, where it's very scarcely even recognized as you go to a certain spot. But what a joy it must have been to send them to some places with the news of the gospel. And so this morning, if I could preach to you, I'd like to show you the actors, so to speak, in the play or in the performance that's put on here. I want to preach about they sent them away, because that's what the Bible says at the end of the verse there in verse number 3. They sent them away, or they sent them off. They commissioned them. They laid their hands on them, as oftentimes when somebody's in a commissioning service, they will still do. And that's just symbolic to say we're empowering you. We want to go with you, but we're not going, but we put our hands on you and authorize you to go. And I want to preach for a little while about that. They sent them away. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Would you help us as we dive into this message? And I pray that you would move upon our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that we can't be an obedient Christian unless we're doing something to get the gospel to those people who are around us. If we're a Christian, it's very clear the Bible is that we're supposed to be giving the message. You may not be a preacher, you may not be an evangelist, you may not be a missionary, but all of us are supposed to be involved in engaging people with the gospel. Well, I go a step further. I also believe that according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I believe also that we can't be a truly obedient Christian unless we're doing something to get the gospel to round the world. And you say, preacher, I don't think I'll ever be to another country, and most of us will not be, but we can, through our missionaries, get the gospel to around the world. This group at Antioch, they weren't finding themselves going to those other regions, but what they were doing is they were laying hands on the people that were going to go, and they say, by our effort, we are sending you to the places that we cannot be. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I want to present our missions program to you, and I want to look at the aspects of the story here that's right in front of you. Number one, I see the goer. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. I see the goer. I see the person that's actually going to get their feet and get on a ship and go somewhere. Now they get on an airplane and go somewhere. I see the goer. Oh, I see in my eyes the star of the show. The one that's the premier person, the one that's going to take the gospel and go somewhere where it's not currently named. And I see the goer as he's there, how we ought to love missionaries. And I believe our church does. One missionary told me sometime back here at Buffalo Ridge, as he was coming through, it wasn't one that we support, but he told me that after we got done and maybe went to get a bite to eat or something, he said, well, several people at the church tonight gave me a green handshake. Well, now, if you're a missionary, you'd love to get a green handshake. And what does that mean? That meant that handshake had a 20 or a 50 or a 100 or something, and he didn't tell me what it was, nor did I ask. But it was such a blessing to be the pastor of the church that somebody here in the congregation, as they saw him out in the lobby, they wanted to shake hands and palm press them some cash that didn't benefit the person any as far as their tax deduction, because they didn't give it through the church and they didn't do anything like that. It only benefited them because they were investing in heaven. The goer. The person who says, I'm going to go. It wasn't this missionary that told me that, but the Burdines, some friends, are going to Nicaragua, and they'd come through, and we were able to just hear a little bit about the missions that they were going to be involved in. We were able to hear the Hausers, some missionaries that we also don't support, but that we were able to be a blessing to as they come through. I see those people who are going to take the gospel, the same gospel that you were blessed to hear when you were a boy, or maybe when you were a young person, or maybe when you were an adult, that same gospel that you were blessed to hear. And I was inundated with it from, I don't remember when I didn't know about Jesus, but some of these missionaries are taking the gospel to people where it's very unclear about the message of Christ, or maybe it's certainly even unheard of. But I see here that the Holy Ghost said in verse number 3, separate me. And so the goer was not only somebody that wanted to go, but it was somebody that God originated. It was somebody that God said, I want him to go. And if we find a missionary that's got the call of God in his life, or in his or her life, we see that we have a true treasure of somebody that wants to take what you have, the Word of God, and specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ, to a place where it's never heard. We were blessed to have missionary Stephen Terrell, who was through just a few weeks ago when Brother Polly was here preaching the revival, and we got to get to meet his girls, Abby and Katie and Allie, as they sat over there. We got to meet them and talk with them, and bubbly little girls, and such pleasant family to be around. And so we not only were able to be a blessing to Stephen because we gave him something out of our missions, but then one of the men of the church had gotten some cash, and so we were able to, with their father's blessings, give each of them a little bit of money to go do something with. My friend, it's just a blessing when you have somebody who's willing to go. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And if you ever find somebody, we ever find somebody that wants to go to a place where it's not currently named, then we see that actor in the stage, if you will, the goer. But I see not only the goer, but look in verse number 3, if you would. I see the sender. And when they'd fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I gave my text for, or my title from there, they sent them away. So not only do we have the goer, we got to have that person. We can't get to Cambodia without him. We can't get to Sierra Leone without him. We can't get to South Africa without him or her. We can't get there, but they can't get there without something else. They can't get there without the sender. And so we see the sender, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. And I would imagine that not only did they lay their hands on them, then they also equipped them for the trip. And they said, here's where we're going to go. You're going to go, and we're going to make sure that we stay behind you, and we are going to give to the cause that God has put his hand upon you. If you are supposed to go, then you certainly shouldn't reject that to the God. But if you're not supposed to go, and this is the way I see it, if you're not supposed to go and God hasn't tapped you on the shoulder to say, it's your life that I want to go to a foreign land, you're not out of luck yet. You're not out of luck. You still yet have a chance. Because just because God doesn't want you to go be the missionary, I'm convinced that all of us are supposed to be the one that sends the missionary. I believe everybody is supposed to be involved in missions. I believe either we're the one that's going on the airplane across the water, or we're the one paying for the tickets. And so we see that not only is the goer there, but the sender is there as well. I read years ago, and I reread it this week, just a story about A.W. Milne. A.W. Milne, around the turn of the, between the 1800s and 1900s, he was in a group, there was a group of them, that were labeled by people the one-way missionaries. And the reason they were called that is because they were planning to go somewhere and not come back. He had planned to go to the New Hebrides Islands. And he had planned to go, and what these one-way missionaries would often do is they would literally take their coffin, and they would use that as a thing to pack most of their stuff in. He was going to a region where was known headhunters, and as far as people had known, a missionary had never survived. But he felt the definite call of God on his life. And he packed up his coffin, put his stuff in there, knowing that he would never return. Well, history would tell you about Milne that he spent 35 years ministering in the specific place that he went. When he died, they erected a stone in the center of the little area that they would live. And it said this about Milne: when he came, there was no light. And when he left, there was no darkness. He was used of God to spread the light of the gospel Now, that's a wonderful story about A.W. Milne. But you know how A.W. Milne got there? He had to get there by people like you and me. Certainly different situations. Their churches were much more crude back in the day when he left and the little areas that he left from. And certainly maybe they didn't have the wherewithal that maybe some of us do in this room. But still, he couldn't get there on promises and good intentions. He had to get there by somebody paying the fare for him to be there. I see the goer. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas and Saul, for this work." And then I see the sender. They laid hands on them and sent them out. Look at verse number 8, if you would, as you move down to past the point we read. I see the trouble that they have when they got there. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. I suppose it goes without saying that missionaries face many obstacles, because how could they not face obstacles in a land that they haven't heard the gospel when you face obstacles when you want to speak up for your faith in your workplace? And here we live in the United States of America. How could they not face obstacles when they go to share the message of Jesus Christ? Because you certainly face obstacles as you try to witness to people. I give you this point not for you to feel sorry for the missionaries, Saul and Barnabas. They get withstood, and they won't let the gospel is not allowed to go forth, at least by those people at that time. They finally get the answer to them, and they keep on. But I give you that not so you'll feel sorry for them, but so you will understand that just because a missionary, as he writes back or as he comes back in to report, doesn't have some grand and grandiose report to give, doesn't mean he or she's not laboring. You think it's hard in America, you should go some other places. Now, sometimes you'd say, oh, it's easy in other places, and as easy it is in other places, it's hard in some other places. And if it's easy in one aspect, it's hard in another aspect. My friend, I'm just saying, life's hard, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a person in America. But I see the obstacles that they face. I see the trouble that they have, and they see that the Elymas, the sorcerer, the witchcraft person that he is by interpretation, withstood them. They wanted to turn away. And I read our missionary letters as they come in, and I see many of you that stand down the hall, and they read the missionary letters, and I see difficulties that our missionaries have. Can I tell you what blesses my heart? It happened about a week and a half ago or two that Bert told me that somebody from the congregation, and he did tell me that, and I forget who it was, but had written a certain thing, written a note with a check to send to some missionary because that person had read in their letter about some difficulties they were having, and the person of Buffalo Ridge wanted to help be the meter of the need for that missionary. That's a blessing, because all of them have trouble. You know what happens when you have a difficult day? You go shopping. Or you don't go shopping, you go watch TV. When you can't watch TV, you go get a Blizzard at Dairy Queen. Or you go back and get your second one, or your third one, or however many it takes to get you in a better spirit. But sometimes they don't have that. And so it's always a blessing when the missionaries have trouble that there's somebody on the other end of the line that would say, "I feel moved of God." And I heard a preacher once say one time, "Never reject when God gives a generous impulse." I mean, as you're reading that and God says, you ought to let loose of the $50 in your billfold or your wallet or your purse, you ought to let loose of it and give it to Him in the back door, I would suggest to your friends that you don't argue with God. You're outmatched. You're outwitted. And you certainly should be obedient. I see the trouble that they have here as people withstand them to the face and they won't listen. I want to read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3. The Bible says that the Apostle Paul, talking about the church of Macedonia, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." The churches of Macedonia had heard about the trouble that the Apostle Paul was having, and they went beyond what they should have done, and they gathered up givings, and they sent it to the Apostle Paul. In that particular instance in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he tells about it. What an encouragement that must have been. Have you all ever got a letter from somebody you weren't expecting to? And it not that they had money in it, although that's a blessing as well. But just because that letter was there, it was an encouragement at just the right time. Isn't it amazing how God does? Or maybe it was some event, an anniversary, and it wasn't your husband I'm talking about here, but they forgot about it, but they happened to, you thought they did, but they happened to remember. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be encouraged. It's a blessing to get not so financial. I've told different folks that have blessed us, my family and I, financially. I said, listen, long after the money's spent, I'll remember the encouragement. And I mean that. I can spend $100 if you gave it to me today, and I've got a wife. If I can't spend it fast enough, she can. You can spend it as quick as anyone else. You may forget where the money went, what particular part, but you won't soon forget the blessing that it was that somebody felt the need to do that for you. I see the trouble that the missionaries had, and I see that God used people to meet their needs. And let us be the need meeters. Going back to the goer and the sender, you've got to be one or the other. If you want to be a biblical Christian, you either go be the person that goes across the ocean to go there, or across the street, or across wherever, or across the nation to go someplace that's unreached. You go there, or if you can't go there, if God doesn't want you to do that, and I'm saying it with all my heart, if God doesn't let you be the one, notice I said let you, not make you, because it's a joy to get to go do that. If God doesn't let you be the one, then you certainly ought to find the one is going and say, I can fund the project, part of it, even if I can't be the one that goes. So the goer and the sender. I told you the trouble that they had. Let me give you the last thing. The answer is always the same. Verse number 12 of our chapter here. Then the deputy, from over in verse number 7, which was with the deputy of the country of Sergius, Paulus, a prudent man. So they were having problems with this guy. Verse number 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. So the deputy, the person in authority, at first he was resistant to the message that Paul and Barnabas were bringing forth, and he didn't want to hear what they had to say, but when the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Paul and Barnabas found the answer. Over in verse number 8, when Elymas the sorcerer caused them problems, the deputy didn't want to hear, the other people didn't want to hear. Here's what their method was. If first the gospel doesn't work, guess what we're going to do tomorrow? Give the gospel. If it doesn't work that day, guess what? We're going to give the gospel the next day. And now I'm giving that as an instruction to all of us, because if the coworker that you've got, or the neighbor that you've got, or the loved one that you've got, or whoever, if the gospel doesn't work, the gospel always works. But I mean, if they don't allow it to work in their life today, guess what? We're going to try to work, and it may not be tomorrow because they may be resistant to it. But guess what? We're going to try to get them one of these days again. We're going to try to give them the gospel. If it doesn't work that time, we're going to try to give them the gospel. And we're not going to be annoying or obnoxious, and I don't mean that you bombard them with it, but we certainly bombard heaven to ask God, give me the next chance that I might get a word in for the gospel. Just because I'm not pouring it on somebody doesn't mean I'm not pouring my heart out to God and asking Him to give me the next chance to give them the gospel. And so the answer is given in verse number 12, when the deputy saw the doctrine of the Lord. What that's speaking specifically about is the teaching of Jesus. When he saw that these guys were consumed with their message, the teaching of Jesus, then finally he received Christ. You know what the answer to all of our missions problems are? The gospel. You know what the answer to our problems in our nation is? The gospel. You know what the problems in your, whatever area you're looking at, and whether it be our national scene, our international scene, a certain nation or whatever, it's the gospel, the saving message of Jesus Christ. And that's what our missionaries found, Paul and Barnabas. But that's also what our missionaries, as we get to send them out. I talked to Billy Ford about a week and a half ago, our missionary out west. He told me how COVID has changed what they're doing, because usually they have this big missions trailer that they take in. They're able to minister out of this trailer and give the gospel in different one form or a fashion to people. But because of COVID restrictions on that reservation, they're not allowed to do that now. They're not allowing ministries or groups to do that. And so what they did was they found a loophole for the gospel. And what his group and other groups are allowed to do, they're allowed to provide humanitarian aid. And so what they now do is they gather up food And they go deliver it to homes. And so actually they're able to get in inside the homes of some people that they were never allowed and never able to before, to get literally in their homes. And of course, every delivery that they make sure that they get into the gospel. My friend, I'm just coming to us on behalf of our missionaries. And some of the missionaries we don't support yet, but we need to. I'm asking all of us, if God would ever move upon your heart to be the goer, then certainly go. But if God doesn't let you or me be a missionary, then we're going to have to be the stayer and we're going to have to be the sender. Nothing wrong with not going, being the goer, because I believe it'd be wrong if God doesn't want you to do something, as good as the objective is. If God doesn't want you doing it, then you'd be wrong to say, I'm going to go do it whether God wants me to or not. But I believe that God wants every one of us to be involved in going, whether we're the physical one that's going or we're funding the going that somebody else is doing. So as we look at missionaries, is our opportunity to be one of those, a goer or a sender? If we're the sender, then let's not be a hypocritical sender. If we're going to send somebody, as Billy Ford, to the reservation to be a speaker of the gospel, why would we send him out there? Or why would we send a missionary to Micronesia? Or why would we send somebody to Sierra Leone? Why would we send a missionary somewhere else and tell them, you give the gospel to those people and me not give the gospel to the people I'm around? So I need to not only be a sender, but I need to be a speaker here and give the same message that they're giving over there. Just because God doesn't give me leeway to go be a missionary where it's not heard of yet, I should still be a missionary where it is spoken and be a speaker here. So the Bible says that they sent them away at the end of verse number 3. Usually when we think about sending people away, we think of it in a negative way. Just get out of my sight. They sent them away. But this wasn't that way. They sent them away with tears, and they sent them away with embraces. And they said, we love you, but we love the Lord more. We're going to send you away to get the gospel where it isn't already. And my friend, I want you to take two things home with you. One is that we need some people to be the goers. We have a hallway full of goers. And maybe we have some people in this room that need to be a goer as well. But we have a hallway full of goers, and we have more people that aren't in our missions board that need to be in our program. But we have the two things I want you to take away is either be a goer or be a sender. If you're going to be a sender, then also be a teller here of the same message that we're sending those people over there to do. There's many churches that give great amounts to missions, but they do almost nothing to spread the gospel message right there where they are. I don't have to take you back to junior church or primary church, do I? To say, be a missionary every day. That we ought to be a missionary here and there, across the street and around the world. Let's be a goer. If God would so be blessed to have you go, then we'd rejoice with you. And we do like they did with Barnabas and Saul. We would lay hands on you and say, Lord, bless them as they go. And then we'd be behind you financially as well. But if that's not the part in your life, and it's not for mine, as far as I know, I try to be honest with God and say, God, if you wanted me to do it, I would. And I think I mean it. But God's never tapped me in that way. And so since he hasn't, I feel a great responsibility for Amy and I to be the senders. You say, how much do you give? Well, it's none of your business. I don't want to know how much you give, and you don't need to know how much I give. It's not going to do a lot individually, but I believe all of us together, we can do a whole lot as we collaborate and push them forward. And let me just remind you what the message is that they give and we give. If we have a missionary that's not going to give the gospel message of Jesus Christ being the only way of salvation, then he or she's not a missionary that we're interested in supporting. I thank God for so many good, quote-unquote, mission projects where they go for humanitarian reasons and they help areas. But our missionaries will not only help humanitarily, they will do that, but they will help preaching and teaching and presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I want to be involved in missions that preaches that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and that without him a person would never be able to experience heaven, but instead would have to go to a wicked place called hell and pay for their sins. And those missionaries are doing those folks the best favor that anybody could ever do to them by preaching, teaching, and presenting to them Jesus Christ. The goer and the sender. May we be one or the other. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And Lord, I trust that it's fallen on receptive ears, dear Lord. And maybe some are thinking, well, why are you preaching this today? Lord, as you seem to lead me, Lord, I wanted to plant the seed today so that you could be turning over in our minds and our hearts over these next 3 to 4 weeks what part we could have in being the sender. Lord, we are blessed. We give hundreds of thousands of dollars to missions. And Lord, I don't want to see that ever stop. I want us to be the senders that you want us to be. Folks, hard to give an invitation on a message like this. I could certainly say some of you ought to be surrendering your life to go somewhere.